You're listening to SB Nation Radio. This is the Tony D Show.
All right, so one of the hotter teams in the NBA are the Houston Rockets. They have won 4 straight and 7 of their last 8, going up against the hottest team right now, the Golden State Warriors, who have won 7 in a row. That game's tonight, but let's get an inside look at the Rockets, who are coming off a win against the Oklahoma City Thunder, in which they put up, again, a high end of points, 137. They're averaging 115 a game. Ethan Rothstein joins us from SB Nation, covers the Rockets here on SB Nation Radio. How are you, my friend?
Good. How are you doing?
Good. I feel like I hate asking this because with this current climate of the NBA, regular season matchups don't feel like they've got punch anymore. But that being said, tonight, can I take anything away from tonight's game against Golden State, or are the Warriors going to sit half their guys?
I hope they don't sit half their guys because I'm looking forward to the game. You know, I think everything at this point has come down to how these teams match up in the playoffs. And considering Kevin Durant's not playing, it's just hard to read anything too much. That being said, I think both teams really, really want to win. I mean, the Rockets already took a game off the Warriors on the road early this year in double overtime with a full squad. So I don't think them beating the Warriors will give them any more, belief that they can beat them, because I think they already believe that they can. But I really hope that the Warriors play everyone who's healthy. And we know the Rockets will, because they're very anti-rest.
Outside of James Harden, when Mike D'Antoni got this job, because I'm sure he looked at Harden and said, that's the guy. I can really use this guy. What else were the Rockets? What pieces did they have that made this attractive for Mike D'Antoni and his style?
For his style, I'm sure the most appealing thing was the organization itself. Daryl Morey has been on the forefront, along with D'Antoni, of advocating for shooting as many threes as possible. Leslie Alexander, the owner, has always liked to shoot a lot of threes and to run very quickly ever since he bought the team, and they won 2 straight championships playing Robert Horry as a stretch four, and having Kenny Smith and Sam Cassell and Vernon Maxwell all shooting tons of threes. So I think, you know, in terms of the personnel, D'Antoni probably had a big part of Ryan Anderson and Eric Gordon coming in. Last year, they didn't really have that great personnel. Patrick Beverley is a much improved 3-point shooter. And Trevor Ariza, you know, if he's having a good night, can hit a bunch, but he doesn't have a good night every night or nearly enough for some Rockets fans. But I think it's really the organizational philosophy that D'Antoni knew he could come in and everyone would be on the same page, and they would acquire players that fit rather than try to, put the square peg of, say, Dwight Howard into the round hole that is the Mike D'Antoni system.
This team is going to set the record for most threes in a season. They'll probably get it tonight. There's that old saying, live by the three, die by the three. When they're not hitting threes, are they still capable of winning games?
Yes, but not a lot. I think their chances of winning go down a lot. I think they had their first win of the season when making fewer than 10 threes last week. I believe it was against the Nuggets, where I think they hit only 6 or 7 threes, and they still beat the Nuggets. And I think that was on the road. They had a home-and-home against the Nuggets. So I forget which game the Rockets didn't hit 10 threes in. But I think they showed that they can beat a good team without it. And they just pounded the paint against the Nuggets. Clint Capella and Nene had an absolute field day against Mason Plumlee and an undersized front line. So I think, you know, against a team like the Warriors or the Spurs, maybe they can take a game in a series when they're not hitting threes. I don't think they can take 4. But on the other hand, what are the odds that the Rockets play, 5 or 6 or 7 games and don't hit 10, 15, 20 threes in any of them? So I think that they prove they can win a game or two, and that may be all they need to turn a series. If they can win a game, one of those games, and they go cold, maybe there's 3 more games where they'll go hot, and that'll be enough.
This type of style, this sort of, score is points, and on the defensive end, you're still giving up over 100. But in the end, this type of style, when you look at it in terms of a 7-game playoff series where teams are breaking you down every single night and what you just did, how sustainable do you think this style will be in the playoffs?
I think it is sustainable. I think the Warriors have proved that you can be a jump shooting team and win a championship even before them. The San Antonio Spurs, when they beat the Heat and really trounced all of the NBA on their run to their most recent title, proved that you can be a 3-point centric team. I think the difference between this Rockets team and the Suns team of the past that really couldn't get over the hump is the presence of Harden as a scorer. Steve Nash could never take over a game with his scoring to the degree that Harden could. Harden's one of the 3 or 4 best scoring players in the NBA, has been for years. So if his teammates, if Ryan Anderson is cold, if Eric Gordon is cold, if Trevor Ariza is cold, and they need him to score and win by himself, like a lot of playoff series have gone where the best player really needs to step up to put the team over the top, Harden can do that. And he can do that alongside guys like Capella and Lene, who are such good pick and roll partners and such good, lob finishers around the rim, and Harden's so good at throwing those lobs. So I think they have something that they can rely on if the threes aren't falling down the stretch, which is just relying on James Harden's excellence. And I think that's the difference between maybe just a near normal D'Antoni system and this Rockets team this year.
Talking Houston Rockets of playing Golden State tonight. Ethan Rothstein joins us from SB Nation. All right, and give me an idea on Harden here, because is he getting a lot of good PR play here? Because there's a league that says guys are playing too much, too many minutes, got to rest, got to sit out games, and he plays every single night. How much is that? How much nationally is he getting attention for that aspect of his game?
Not enough, I think. I mean, the rest, the rest argument has been beaten to death at this point, and there are so many different perspectives to consider. But the point remains that he plays every single game. He's dealing with a wrist ailment right now that he's playing through. He had heavily wrapped after their win against the Thunder. He's leading the league in total minutes. His minutes per game are down this year, last year, but total minutes. If you're talking to a trainer, that's probably what they're really looking at the most. With this MVP conversation, it's not quite as impactful because Russell Westbrook is playing just as much and just as hard as Harden is every night. Yeah. But for the league on the whole, he really should be getting a lot more credit for being one of the more durable players in the entire league, especially considering his style of play and that he gets fouled so much. And he still just does not miss time. He plays all of every first and third quarter and most of the second and fourth quarter in every single game. He's unbelievably durable, he should be recognized for that.
Does the conversation come up with Mike D'Antoni in press conferences after games or shoot-arounds or whatnot about rest, about the impact of it and getting ready for the playoffs, which is coming up next month, and the minutes and the tolls of the minutes? Does that get brought up to him in questions?
Oh, yeah. Just after their last game, he was asked whether the Rockets are going to start resting their players, because I think they're 6.5 up games on the 4 seed. They're 5 games or 5.5 games back of the 2 seed of the Spurs. So they're the 3 seed. Anything else would be an absolute shocker. Right now the Rockets don't really have much incentive to play all their guys every night. And when asked if the Rockets are going to start resting players, D'Antoni just said, "We don't do that. We don't rest guys." And Patrick Beverley said it's BS and disrespecting the league for players to rest. So the Rockets have made their feelings known over and over again, and they're not going to sit guys. They'll play all season.
I got a minute, but I wanted to ask you about Lou Williams, his impact since arriving to Houston. What has it been?
It's been hit or miss. He's when he is shot well, the Rockets have just blown out teams. Unfortunately, he hasn't shot that well that much. His shooting numbers are down from his time in LA. And when he's not shooting well, say what you want about Corey Brewer and what he brought to the team, but he brought a lot more defensively than Lou Williams has. So when Lou Williams doesn't shoot well, that bench unit has really struggled because a lot of possessions end with a brick from Williams, and then they can't stop anyone on the other end. When they're shooting well, when Williams is shooting well, when Gordon is shooting well, that bench unit is basically unstoppable. But, like Darren Morey would say, the Lou Williams addition, it added the variance. But that variance works both ways, where they can be a lot better than they were with Brewer on the bench unit, but they can also be worse.
Interesting stuff. Ethan Rothstein again, SB Nation. Appreciate your time. I hope we catch up with you soon.
Appreciate it. Thank you for having me.